Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me tonight is my co-host, as always,
Chad Mix.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news, as I mourn the fact that The Undertaker is still retired. Tonight we have a very special episode, the first of two episodes that have been posted this week. We talked on the previous episode about it, and it has finally occurred. Chad has witnessed his first Fast and the Furious movie since 2001.
Yes. The first one all the way through with no commercials. Yes. Fast 8.
What are your thoughts on the chaos, the craziness, the family, the drama that is Fast and the Furious, Fate of the Furious?
So, as an outsider to this whole franchise, I'll say this one is a lot funnier than I remember this series being. But again, just remember, I've only seen the first one and the second one on USA. As I just posted, I just said, you know, Fast 8 is dumb. But it's fun dumb. It's not dumb dumb. So
it's not Michael Bay dumb.
No, you can't enjoy Michael Bay's dumb. Michael Bay is like gnawing your teeth kind of dumb. This is just like, hey, it's cotton candy kind of dumb. And cotton candy dumb is fine.
This is not all that different from XXX3s.
Okay. See, I knew this comparison was going to come up. And while XXX did give me the nostalgia feels for old action movies from the 80s, XXX was dumb. Like, just dumb. This, actually, like, it's fun. It's just really, really dumb. But the movie knows that it's dumb. So it doesn't try to be anything other than a dumb action movie that you can enjoy. And I'm fine with that.
So this is your spoiler warning. Be advised that we are going to talk about the movie in spoilerish detail. So if you want to avoid spoilers, why you clicked on a podcast link to a spoiler cast for Fast and the Furious 8, I have no idea.
They're glutton for punishment, that's all.
So, Chad, would you like to tell our fine listeners what you thought overall of the movie and about the things that you liked the most?
Overall, the movie it's a good time in movies. If you go to the movies to see, like, big kind of spectacle action things, this one's gonna be right up there. Being that this is the 8th movie, and this is at least the 4th movie that a lot of these people have been in together, you can tell that they've done this before and they have fun doing it with each other. Well, most of them. And that is conveyed on screen. And it's their interactions, most of them are meant to be funny towards each other. So all of that was good. The action was fine. We did get a little bit of a nod back to the first one with the car races, and that's how we start this movie off. I will say that Dom should have died twice. escaping cars going incredibly, incredibly fast, and he just rolls out and he's fine. Like, his clothes not torn, he don't have like scrapes on his arm, nothing. He just rolled. If my car was going out of control, I would hope
200 miles an hour with flames all around you, probably.
I mean, he didn't even have like burn marks in that one. He was just fine. He just got up. And that one, he was wearing a wife beater, so you know, you would think he like at least scraped his elbow or something. I kind of forget the ice for that, but for the second one, but you know, the first one should have like bit something. But it's fun movie, and it's fun seeing all these people play off each other. It was also entertaining, kind of like trying to watch the scenes between the head, The Rock, and Vin Diesel in them, because you know they have off-screen problems,
which we all thought was just PR, Rock trying to publicize his, Vin Diesel trying to extend his brand type stuff. But apparently, not so much.
Yeah, because it was weird. Like when they dropped the first trailer for this, they had this whole big thing to do in New York. and they all were there. And I think Vin and The Rock are, like, sitting next to each other. They're very close, and it just seems fine. But as we got closer to the release of this movie, they're like, nope, we're keeping these two separate on the press tour. I haven't seen them together at all. And then I watched this movie, and while they are in scenes together, you never see The Rock and Vin Diesel in the same frame at all.
Which, I'm like, as we discussed, I'm sure was a fun time for F. Gary Gray.
Yeah, that, like, you know, you wrote F. Gary Gray into this, and he's like, I'm getting this big franchise, and I can do this, and flex. People like straight out of Compton, I can flex this action muscle, and then he gets there, and these two muscle heads are like, I don't like you, I don't like you. And he's got to play referee in between that. I don't envy anybody that's got to stand between The Rock. Hell, The Rock and a wall. But now you got to stand between The Rock and Vin Diesel. And then, you know, you got to throw in, like, Jason Statham is sitting over there. And then the rest of the people, and they're all watching how you deal with this. So, when we progress from this movie, I would like to see what F. Gary Gray really has to say about how he had to deal with the set of Fast 8.
Unless the producers, unless Morgan was running interference there. I mean, you know, he's been with the series since Tokyo Drift. He's the Marcus and McFeely of this particular franchise. He's written more of it than anybody else. He's an executive producer. He's a normal producer credit on the movie. We know he was on set. It's very possible that he was the go-between.
Hearing you say all that, I would think if he's running interference, he's like running interference on Vin. And then somebody's got to wrangle The Rock, and that's probably poor F. Gary Gray. And from everything I've seen about The Rock with these movies, it seems like, you know, he might have been mad, but he wouldn't have taken it out on F. Gary Gray. But it just wouldn't have made F. Gary Gray's job very pleasant for
Well, I mean, scenes. One of the things that's interesting about the way that Seven is framed is that Hobbs and Toretto are both in the movie, but they're kind of on separate parallel tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the Hobbs story and you have Diesel's story, and they don't cross over until the third act. Which made sense because of the way that movie was structured before the death of Walker, and afterward it became the Vin Diesel show because Vin Diesel was the only one who had any time left. And it seemed like Rock had filmed the majority of his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot less team stuff in the third act of Seven just simply because they didn't have the ability to schedule everybody to bring them together. In a lot of ways, that third act of Seven feels like just The Rock and Vin Diesel. So it's really interesting to come into this segment here, and this episode, if you will, and an already a commitment from the studio for two more sequels. Talk of a Hobbs spinoff, the character is insanely popular, that we would get to this point where it's, you know, that the two are having public animosity toward one another. Is the fact that, you know, I've seen all eight of these movies and that they do a really good job of playing with their own history. They know their own history, they know their own canon, and they bring things back around. When they did four, and Han shows up in four, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that guy just died in the last movie, so how is he here? Oh, well, we're going to spend the next three movies building to the point where he got killed. So really what we're making is a prequel trilogy.
Mm.
And it's a unique way to kind of get around that, you know, and work to re-retcon Tokyo Drift. And now you have an order in which you pretty much watch the movies as 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10. Because that's the order that the timeline has set up. And with, you know, the Shaw brothers being a huge part of both 6 and 7, and now 8. That's been a really interesting thing, having the big reveal, the surprise cameo, which was nice, seeing the brothers together was interesting. The big reveal about why Dom turns heel is, again, something that is steeped in prior movies. And it just... it blows my mind that DC can be in a situation where they can't get this right on a subtle level. And yet, here's the Fast franchise, 16 years on, 8 movies on, hinting at their own history in subtle ways, with bringing characters in and making subtle references, and it working.
So, watch this. I kind of felt like how people that go to Marvel movies that don't watch all the movies, how they feel like somebody that might watch Civil War. Sitting there and like they know the broad strokes, but the little things, they don't really pick up on.
Like Tales to Astonish. When Tales of Astonish gets dropped in Ant-Man.
Yeah,
it's a comic book nerd's gonna know that Ant-Man debuted in Tales to Astonish number whatever. But the average fan just
Like, I could pick up on stuff and not, like, okay, I know this is from another movie, I have no idea what it was. Like, you know, since we're doing spoilers, when the girl showed up in the plane, I'm like, I know her from another movie, I know she did something with Dom, and then they popped up with the baby. Well, I know what she did with Dom, I just don't remember what movie and who she was. When the brothers, I got that because I knew Luke Evans was one, even though I'd never seen the movies. And they made a point of showing us him, so I wasn't surprised to see him. Later on...
Well, the last time we saw him was in 7, and he was lying in a hospital bed.
Yeah, I think I knew that, too. I forgot about it until just now, but I knew something happened to him, but
see, that's the beautiful thing to me. They know their history, and they play on it. Like Eva Mendes showing up in the post-credit stinger for Fast 5. She hadn't been in a Fast and the Furious movie since 2, and yet they brought her back to do that. They've been, Luke Evans is the villain in 6, in 5, in 6, and he's in a hospital bed in 7, and the impetus for his brother to go get Dom in 7, and then in 8, he's fully recovered from his injuries, gets broken out of a black site prison, and, is helping his brother. So, it works. That, bringing in, working with Letty. Okay, well, Letty died. No, wait, Letty didn't die. This is what happened, and here's how she got out of that situation. And all that. It plays on its own
history.
You remember that build with The Undertaker and Triple H at WrestleMania 27? And how it was a decade after they fought at WrestleMania 17.
Mm-hmm.
But they went out of their way to act like Taker and Triple H had never fought before, ever in the history of mankind.
Until the night afterwards.
Until the night afterwards, where Triple H is like, hell, I faced The Undertaker at WrestleMania before.
Yeah.
Like, the history that those two men had in that match at 17 could have aided the build at 26.
Mm-hmm.
At 27. But they chose not to go that way. And I think that that's what I like about the Fast movies is that they, A, know their history, and they actively try to make it mean something.
Yeah, that's always good when you're, like, franchise and world building. So, that's a good thing.
Which, again, this is a series that started out about kids trying to steal bootleg DVD players. The shipments that they were moving at the time were, like, massive shipments of used DVD players.
Again, I saw that 15 years ago.
Well, one is a more serious movie because it's basically a Point Break remake or ripoff. So, I mean, that's a different tone than what you even got in 2.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Point Break by the time I saw this one, but once I saw Point Break, I was like, yeah, I got this. 2, Two is more like that kind of buddy cop thing.
Yeah, two is the buddy cop, the Lethal Weapon type thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, I've never seen the rest. Tokyo Drift, I just know it's...
Tokyo Drift's kind of that high school kid trying to figure out who he is and what he's doing, and it happens to run into Ludacris type thing. And then, you know, four is about bringing Brian back into the fold and getting back to the Brian and Dom story that was left off in one, because, you know, he didn't come back for two, and neither one of them were...
In three.
When and
Dom had that... He had a cameo
at the end, right? Yeah.
Because that was... Listening to the producers, that was like the impetus for them to keep going, was that teaser, that little tag.
Well, that Vin agreed to come back, because part of the reason Vin started the Triple X franchise was because he was ticked off, because he was like, I can go over here and do this. I don't need you. If you're not going to give me the money, these people will give me the money, and I will go be with them. I don't care about family, I just care about my money. Give me my money, and I will come back. And that's just, and Sengio would happen. You know.
Wait, so, Ludacris has been in the most of these movies?
He's been in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
He was in 2. I'm pretty sure he was in 2. It was a small part in 2, but I'm pretty sure he was in 2.
Oh, that's right. He was in 2 because that's when him and Tyrese have their first little encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Brian introduces Ludacris.
Yeah, so he's been in all of them but one. And he's on the one. I mean, I guess Vin has been in all of them but one, too, since he was technically in 3, but... Vin and Ludacris. I never thought of that until you said he was. I didn't know he was in 3. Like, all right.
I mean, it's for me. It's just interesting because no one in 2001 anticipated this becoming a 10 movie franchise. No one anticipated Lamborghinis being driven on the ice. No one anticipated The Rock moving a missile with his hand. No one anticipates cars flying out of garages and being taken over with their guidance systems. But here we are. You know, safes being hijacked on roller skates, cars being pushed out of airplanes and parachuting to safety, men running up the ends of buses as they fall off a cliff. I mean, jumping through buildings, not one, not two, but 3 buildings.
Yeah, I was explaining this series to somebody today, and I pretty much listed off all those things you said, and I said, this series gets progressively more ridiculous every time. And I started with the safe, and I ended with the car through 3 buildings. And the look on this person's face was like, this is all completely stupid.
And yet... While the completely stupid Transformers series makes less money domestically every film, the Fast and the Furious movies now make more money every film, domestically.
Yeah, you miss having to sit through that stupid trailer. God. Transformers does not make me happy.
No. So what were the things that you didn't really enjoy about the movie?
Okay, I didn't like repeatedly getting beat over the head about family. It's like every other word out of Vin Diesel's mouth is family. And he doesn't talk for half of the movie because he's like, he's being blackmailed. But I get it, dude. You like family. I got it. Stop saying it. I also didn't like that I got teased a Rock Jason Statham fight, and I never got a Rock Jason Statham fight. And then they go through the rest of the movie and they become chummy and stuff, and that's looking promising. And then we get the news that shows you at the end, in which Vin Diesel pulled his Big Daddy Vin card and ixnayed a post credit scene that would have had The Rock and Jason Statham, and could have possibly led to a spinoff movie with The Rock and Jason Statham. And who doesn't want to see that? Because if you see them the 5 minutes they spend talking to each other in the jail cell across to each other is great. And I want to see them fight. Just because I want to see them fight. But they're talking so much trash to each other the whole time. It just makes you want to see it. And they become friends because they're talking trash to each other. So I would like to see him like get that paid off. And Vin Diesel told me no. And I don't appreciate him for that. So
you'll forgive him in about 3 weeks when he's using a high-pitched voice to say
it. I keep forgetting it. There's a point in this movie I'm watching, I'm like, that dude's Groot. And as I thought that, I was visualizing Big Groot. I forget that he's Baby Groot, too. And I want to resent him after watching this movie. But then you just reminded me that he's Baby Groot. And all he's doing is saying 4 words. And now I can't resent him. Because he's going to be this cute little tree. God dang it.
Sentient plant being. James Gunn would want me to correct you. Sentient plant being, not a tree.
It's a walking tree. I don't care what he says. I know, I get it, James. I understand the semantics. But he's a tree.
So, my not so good would be that third act's length. The length of that third act just kind of takes way too long to get to where you need to get to. There's building dramatic tension, and then there's losing your audience.
Yeah, I looked at the time, like, the tail end of the second act. I'm like, okay. Because I knew that we were getting the submarine thing. I'm like, okay, so maybe we'll get that, and then we get to the end. But no, the submarine is the entire end, and that sucker's got to be, like, 40 minutes. Which is, there's so much going on, I kind of forgave it. Particularly when Statham is saving the baby.
Yeah, well, that's a highlight for sure. The airplane scene with Statham and the baby.
Yeah.
And the cutest digital baby you will ever see. But, for me, it's like, either do one or the other. Either have them pull the chip out, deactivate the nukes, which, by the way, you come back and say, oh, well, they don't have their heads on them, so they're not really all that dangerous.
I think it's because he pulled out the chip.
Right.
So, pulling out the chip works. If it...
But, like, to me, you either do one or the other. Either you have the submarine already in the water and ready to detach and launch, and then them trying to get to the canal to stop the... Cut the canal off, so that she can't get into open water, or you have them, the submarine being old and still confined, and then trying to race to get inside so that they can pull the chip out and prevent her from launching the nukes. You don't do both.
Yeah, I know the more I think about it, I'll probably agree with that more.
Because the race, which is essentially what it is, they're trying to outrace a submarine.
Mm.
And the dramatic tension of Dom up on the hill, that's the more compelling narrative.
I would agree, yeah. Now that I think about it, it's like, yeah, why did we have to waste time pulling the ship when we could have just did all the rest of that stuff?
And it's not like they just got in there, took the ship out, and left. Like, it took forever for them to actually get in there and find the thing and pull it out.
That was like 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
But, I get that. I've just seen third acts be way longer and lose me more.
Michael Bay's movies are an entire third act.
And the fact that I can't remember the last one, I'll tell you everything you need to know about that one. Again, it was really long, but they did enough that it kept me entertained, and I'll allow it, but they can't keep doing that.
So, I mean, that'd be my not-so-good, or my bad. My not-so-good... not having Helen Mirren in this movie for longer. That would be my not-so-good. You have a perfect opportunity to have this wonderful actress who wanted to be in your movie, And you didn't put her behind the wheel of a car, which we know she can do from many, many different films. And you just kind of leave her out there. Like, she has two, you know, dialogue scenes, and she pretty much steals both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she doesn't pop up again.
I credit that to the fact that they did so much other crap going on in this movie that, you know, this one just kind of got shortchanged. I don't even know. I don't know if she, if they got her to be in the movie before they started shooting, or they were like, she was like, I want to be in the movie. I'm like, well, we can fit you in here. And they got her to do those two scenes. Either way, the next movie, she needs to be in it more. You might be losing a few people anyway, so squeeze her in the spot.
But I mean, that and the fact that Letty is a really accepting person, apparently.
Oh, she cared nothing about Dom just straight up looking her in the face while Charlize Theron's just like, oh, putting her tongue down his throat. Nope, I see him. He comes racing down the hill, I'm like, oh yeah, there's Dom. And then you get out the car and start hugging. No! He almost killed all of y'all. Like, multiple times. And didn't say a word. Didn't say a single solitary word.
And then after everything is over, he tells her, oh, by the way, when I thought you were dead, I boned a woman. She got pregnant. She went away and didn't tell me that she was pregnant. And then she got kidnapped by Cypher. And Cypher held her and my newborn child, who I'd never seen before, held them hostage and threatened to kill them if I didn't comply with her wishes.
Okay, so, a couple thoughts. One, that I think she's more forgiving of the baby because the mom got offed. I mean, you can't be mad at the baby. He's an orphan. Two, you really can't really be mad. He thought you were dead. It's not like y'all broke up and he went down the street and had another kid. No, he thought you weren't breathing anymore. Things happened. You came back, well, and I didn't know. What you want me to do? I'm sorry. I thought you were dead. So, I was letting her easiness on that, the whole baby thing slide. And I'm like, there's just, you have a whole bunch of things going on that should uncomplicate your feelings about this. But the, like, somebody needs to punch down or something. Like, I know you saved him from the fire, but he caused all this stuff and didn't tell y'all nothing. Punch him in the face one good time, everybody square.
So what was your favorite spot? Because we're wrestling fans, we talk all the time about spots and matches. And this movie is made of spots. Cars falling out of parking garages. You know, Iron Man Dom.
Oh.
Two racing cars afire.
Yeah. I'm going to take the cheat way out, and I'm going to say the Statham baby scene. It was just fun. It was, like, really simple. It was, like, normal fighting with, like, guns and stuff. If one person is carrying a baby carry-on and shooting people and keeping the baby away, all while the baby's listening to Alvin and Chipmunks. The scene just worked for me. It was, like, the most
And the digital faces on the baby.
Yeah. Yeah, because, he's talking to the baby the whole time, like, he shoots somebody, he starts sniffing. Was that you or him? And the baby, like, nods to the other dude. I'm like, okay, I see what you did. I understand. But it's fine, because I like it. So, I'm taking the cheap spot.
I'm going to say that my favorite spot of the movie would be the Iron Man Dom. Only because it totally fits the absurdity of the series that Dom would lay Don, really Kevlar armor and, like, hold up a shield and go full Captain America to deflect bullets. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind in that instance was a scene from 24 where when we got to the late stages of the final season of TV, where, you know, Jack Bauer is, you know, closing off a tunnel and going to get President Logan, former President Logan, who he knows has done really bad things, and he's just in a basically an Iron Man suit, just firing away at weapons, and it's like, this doesn't work. Like, this is not how this would work, no. But I really liked the whole cars falling out of the garage, even though we'd already seen when they shot that back in Cleveland. The Instagram videos and things like that had popped up with that, and people thought it was nuts and crazy, and they didn't realize there was a submarine that was also going to be a part of the movie, so...
That submarine thing, it was... Because we'd seen the clip of The Rock, you know, basically bench pressing a submarine while hanging out of a Jeep, driven at high speeds on ice. That was nuts in itself. But in the scene, it just kind of made it seem like, you know, the submarine came up and it shot, but it didn't really shoot. It just kind of like kerplunked on the ice and just kind of skated by. No, the submarine like shot this thing and he really got out and like just pushed it away, and it was absurd in the trailer, and just watching it in action in the movie, it's way more absurd.
Not as absurd as the heat-seeking missile.
It's like, I didn't think of it at the time, but that's like every like 8-year-old boy's like go-to when they're playing some kind of war thing. It's like, I got a heat-seeking missile so you can't get away from it. They literally went and pulled that out, like, we got a heat-seeking missile, you can't get away from it. And of course, Dom races around and jumps. We actually jumped the submarine in this movie to win and beat the heat-seeking missile.
So where do you think we go from here? Fast 10, 9 and 10 are already on the books.
I don't know where we go for 9, but there's only one place we can go for 10. You just gotta go. We gotta take its space.
Well, the producer's already said he hasn't figured out a way that can actually work. Except for racing on the moon. But I wouldn't put it past Cypher to have a moon base.
At this point, I mean, she's like one step away from being like Cobra Commander.
She's a Bond villain. That's the way most of the reviews have put it. She's a very well-done Bond villain. I mean, she has her own private jet. She just says...
Yeah, a jet that never lands. Even the one time we saw it get close to land, it never landed. It just got close enough for Dom to get up on the plane and just kept going. And it was just always in the air. So, yeah, I give it... She was a real good, like, campy 60s Bond villain.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole spill about, you know, Darwinism and survival and the crocodile and the water.
Yeah.
I mean, that pretty much sounded like a typical James Bond, Blofeld villain speech.
Good point. Good call.
But, I mean, she got away.
Yeah, and so... I'm assuming we'll see her again in 9. I don't know how they up the ante with her this time, considering everybody in that plane that wasn't her dead, and her right-hand guy was the ginger from Game of Thrones. He's dead. I don't know if she does, but she's got to escalate. And considering that because of her, we got the submarine chase and the bench-pressing missile and stuff, I don't know what escalation you do from there to here.
Well, see, that's the thing. They've got 2 years to figure it out. April of 2019.
Well, I mean, they got a year to figure it out because they got to start shooting this sucker next year. Which again goes to, are we really getting The Rock in this? Because...
Well, I mean... Again, they have the experience of Fast 7 and how they structured that. You could structure it again with them doing, basically having leading separate teams, Dom leading his team and Hobbs leading his.
But
the you can also do the whole walking off into the sunset. Daddy's home. Daddy's gonna stay home.
I mean, and you know, we were talking about in while we were waiting for the credits to get nothing. They gave him the out, easy out with the going home daughter thing. And quick interlude. My second favorite thing was the soccer team
during
the
haka.
Yeah. During the haka before when we first see The Rock in this movie. That was great, and I need them to release that hockey clip because I would watch it again. It was perfect. It was perfect. But yeah, they gave
him, feels like something added by Rock.
Oh, definitely. We need to introduce you, and we want to show you with your daughter. We're gonna have a soccer game, and I'm gonna be the coach. And we're gonna all the little girls are gonna do the haka, and we're gonna intimidate the other team.
I don't want to play anymore.
And that was the best touch because I'm like, I know if my 8-year-old is on the other side of that, she's going to look at that and then she's going to look to the side to me and then she's going to be like, no, and then she's going to come to me. So I'm glad they put that in there because they're 8. That's what they're going to do. But back to The Rock, they gave him the out with the daughter. With all the talk they had about Hobbs before, the spinoff made the most sense. But with this whole pulling of the end credit scene, if it's gone down the way they say it's gone down, this is pretty bad. Because they said they put this stinger with The Rock and Statham, they attached it to the movie. And then when Vin found out, he flipped the gasket and they had to take it off.
Flipped the gasket.
Yeah. So they'd already put it together. I think they already sent it to the theaters, and then they were like, "Nope, can't do it." And they had to send it. Then they had to cut it and resend it to people. So this is all fairly recent. And if he's that pissed off to cut a 2-minute scene, I don't know what the future holds for Hobbs.
Well, like I said, you know, we all talk about Josh Trank and. And we all talk about Miles Teller, you know, and about Michael B. Jordan and Kate Mara and Tony Kibble, and like, well, who's gonna talk first? Who's gonna give up the goods about how bad things went and when they knew they were making a bad movie and what was going on with Trank's behavior and his potential alcoholism? You know, what was going on between Ken Berg and him and Trank, and you know, how did we end up with the movie that we ended up with? You know, it's the same kind of thing here. Like, we knew from his Rock's tweets during production there were issues between the two of them. A lot of people chalked it up to publicity because both Rock and Diesel are kind of toot your own horn kind of guys. They're great self-promoters. Turns out there was more fire to the smoke there.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what caused the fire to begin with? Because they've worked together on three other movies before this.
I don't know. Because I tend to side with Rock on these things, I'm going to say it's, you know, after Seven became the Vin Diesel show, it went a little bit too much to Vin's head, and he was Hollywood Vin.
Vin feels like he has ultimate power and control, that is his franchise. Thus saith Vin Diesel. Okay, you want to hire a new director because, you know, Lin wants to take his money and go do Aquaman? That's fine. You will run down a list with me right now as to who you want. And I will interview them and I will talk to them and I will make the decision on who the director of the next installment will be. And I'll put on out there publicly that this is what I may think or this is what I may feel, so that it puts heat on you to possibly do what I want you to do. Dance, puppet, dance.
So I don't know where they're going to go in 9, but...
Juan, not Lin. Lin directed...
Yeah.
Lin directed 4, 5, and 6... And they brought in Juan to do 7.
Yeah.
And, of course, Wong did a remarkable job given all the surroundings, led them to a $1 billion movie, and then, you know, took that capital, political capital, and goodwill, and turned it into the Aquaman movie.
Mm-hmm. And now we have F. Gary Gray, but I think...
Who will not be given any credit for this whatsoever.
No.
Because there's not... While there is a stylistic flourish to the movie, there's nothing that jumps out at you and says, this is an F. Gary Gray film.
Mm-mm. So with that said, I think... I don't know where they're going to go with that, but I think if it goes to his head enough, I think Vin will make another push at the director chair. And maybe this time they'll be like, screw it, give it to him. If that happens, The Rock ain't coming back. Because it's one thing to have to deal with this dude as an actor. It's another thing to have to deal with him as the star and the director.
And the producer.
No, thank you. Done.
Well, I mean, one of the power plays that he tried to make in the last bit was to say he wanted to bring the guy from the original back because that's what Paul would have wanted. And they were talking in the last interview I ever read with Walker. It was for Collider. It was done for The Hours, which was his Katrina movie that he did when he was down here. And he talked about the fact that they had already had plans to go to 10. And this is before he died.
Yeah.
So clearly him and Vin had worked some of this out with Studio Brass. The concern that you start to have is that Walker is a check on Diesel, and with Walker not there, it's kind of Diesel having free reign,
mm-hmm.
and the studio's paralyzed to tell him no, because it's like, well, you're making us a lot of money.
How can we tell you no when the last movie you did made us $1 billion?
Right, and this one's going to make you a lot of money too.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has a lot of his own money from playing Groot. So he can, when he comes to you and says, I want to make a Reddick movie, you let him make another Reddick movie. If he comes to you and says, I want to restart the Triple X franchise again, you let him restart the Triple X franchise.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was a good idea.
Well, I made enough money overseas to justify a sequel.
I guess.
So, I mean, it's... The question becomes, where does Vin want Vin and the producer, where do they want to go for 9 and 10? Because those are on the books for 19 and 21. And, you know, everybody makes the joke about time travel, dinosaurs, and space. And, you know, if you can figure out a way to have her end up on a moon base.
They're going to space. If I were them... And I know I'm going to 10, and I have plans to wrap it up in 10, I would make 9 like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, but remember, both main stars, Brian O'Connor and Dominic Toretto, both now have children. And there's nothing to put you past having a time jump. So that instead of having the movies being current day, you can have them 5-10 years in the future, and you end up with the kids making appearances in the movie as teenagers.
No. Because this franchise works almost solely because of the collection of people they have. You can add people to it. You can take some people away. But some form of that core has to stay. If you're talking about brand new leads...
I'm talking about just bringing the kids as part of the adventure.
But normally when you bring the kids, like, yeah, they might have that one adventure where it's like all of them, but eventually it's just the kids. And I don't know if this franchise can survive.
I don't think it was a coincidence they gave Dominic Toretto a kid.
Actually, I think I get, like, in the course of the movie, I get why they did it. At the very end, I'm like, but the reason... that Brian isn't there is because he has a family. And now you've given that to Dom, so why is he around and Brian's not around? I mean, we know that the real life answer, but it's like you've just kind of given...
Which they address again with, hey, maybe we need to call Brian. No,
we agree they weren't coming. And why do we agree? Because he got
a family.
They
deserve to go have a family.
Yeah, and now Dom's got the same thing. So... It's I mean, they can simply just ignore it, but to me, it like, at the end, particularly when he named the baby, even though I knew he was going to name
it. Yeah, we all knew that was coming.
Yeah. Once he did that, it kind of just solidified it for me. It was like, well, Dom has a family. Brian has a family. Why is Dom still going to be hanging around and Brian is not?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to me to see going forward in 9 and 10 if Jordana Brewster shows back up at some point without Brian.
It's going to be tough because where is Brian? Where's Brian going to be? I mean, you can't go the abduction role because eventually you'd have to see him. I don't think they want to do that. And it's not like she would come out around without him. And then if he died, yeah, but I don't think you don't want to do that route either, so.
The phone call.
She could be on the phone with him, but, like, going on an adventure with him, I think that's out the cards.
This is just going to be interesting to see where they go, because, like I said, this is a weird franchise where, you know, this is way more fun than any 8th movie in any franchise ever should be. And it's just a gateway to 9 and 10.
Yeah, I can't even think of other franchises that went to 8.
Harry Potter's the only one, and that was a natural 8.
Yeah. Every time I think of Law series, I always think of Police Academy. But they stopped at 6. So, yeah. You're in rarefied air, Fast 8.
Yeah, they are more Fast and the Furious movies than there are canon Star Wars movies.
Well, we'll change that.
In December.
Then that'll be 9, yes.
But no, that'll be 8.
That'll be 8. So they'll be tied.
Yeah.
Again. And then, Fast is going to beat on the 10.
Yep.
Because next time we get 10 after we get 9.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Fast and the Furious. You have taken a title from Star Wars. That is very regrettable.
It took Star Wars, it'll take Star Wars 42 years. It'll take the 42 years to go from episode 4 to episode 9.
Took these suckers, what, 15?
20.
That'll be 20 to get to 10. Basically a Fast movie every other year. And we've gone with gaps without them.
So, bottom line, are you encouraged or disencouraged to see more?
Oh, I mean, it's a good time, so I'm going to be encouraged. I have no idea what they're going to do. I have no idea what
there needs to be sharks involved. There needs to be the leaping of the sharks.
I mean, at this point, you jumped a submarine. And the submarine, for most of that chase, the top of the submarine was sticking out of the water like a shark. For all intents and purposes, you really gave us jumping the shark. So, go ahead and, like, give us...
Which you did jump the shark in Cuba in the in XXX 3.
That's right, he did. And that movie was... it was semi-fun trash. But it's still trash.
It's the thing you watch on HBO at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, USA on a Sunday afternoon at 4 while you go to sleep.
Yeah. So, that'll about do it for this episode of the Movies on the Brain podcast. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at BCW Tiger Fan.
And at The Match Theory.
Next week, we will have a full discussion about the first official Star Wars trailer. We'll recap. We will recap Star Wars Celebration. We will let you know exactly how much money Fast and the Furious, The Fate of the Furious, made. And we will get into some Shazam news, Black Adam, The Rock, and some cable news. We now officially have a cable. So come back next week for all that good movie information. Until then, thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening.